up in smoke. It's been a very quick 40 years.
1206 here on 77 WABC, and that is Up in Smoke. It is the 40th anniversary of the very funny cannabis comedy film, and appropriately on 420. And Curtis Sliwa, you had your own experience coming here before work. You are now officially a medical marijuana user.
That's right. Got the card, got the certification, as we're Hyattown Madison Square Garden, the great facilities provided to us in order to do this broadcast to all of you. Thank you, NJDiet.com. But it's interesting, as I was working my way down 7th Avenue, because this new facility, state-of-the-art, it's right on 5th Avenue, across from the library off of 42nd. So it's like you were going to purchase Prado or a fine piece of jewelry. You know, it has that kind of ambiance. It's Mad Men stores.
Was it crowded? Was it packed?
Packed.
Wow.
Although, in order to get in, you had to be verified. So you had to have your certification, your medical marijuana card from New York State. And then once inside, once you might pick the medical marijuana that you would like to use, you would walk up to the pharmacy part. And they didn't just give it to you. They asked you a series of questions. So you got vetted out. And I got to tell you, highly professional. Although as I walked in the door downstairs, people were saying, hey, could I have any of your stash today? It's 420.
Oh, and my, wait a minute. So people were looking to hit you
yeah,
up?
Yeah, and some of our FM brothers and sisters in solidarity on the 17th floor, I won't mention which stations, were saying, hey, you got any goodies for me, any goomies?
Ooh. Now, were they regulars? Or how did they know? Did they hear us talking about it yesterday? Was that the tease?
They read it in the New York Post, and then they saw it on the Curtis and Cosby Post. You can actually go there now. You can read the original story about how I've qualified for medical marijuana in the state of New York and my experience this morning at Mad Men store, which has just opened up on 5th Avenue, a medical marijuana dispensary, 5-star, top shelf, treated everyone there with a lot of dignity, a lot of respect. And the people who went to purchase their medical marijuana, I had a chance, my girlfriend, Nancy Regula, to question them. And they were there because they had cancer or they had various maladies or they had stomach disorders like I had, colitis, ileitis, and the chronic Crohn's disease. And they were using it for pain management or they were using it to relax the reflux that they had or, more importantly, the nausea that would prevent them from eating. And so they were up on all the medical uses of marijuana. And it was great to see that this is now an option in which people can find it. Although you look at a city like New York, 8 million people, with so many people with medical marijuana needs. There's only 3 dispensaries now. 3. And then you look at other states like Arizona, where there are 140 dispensaries of medical marijuana. Now, that's a red state. That's a very conservative state. Arizona, 140 locations that you can get medical marijuana. New York State, all of New York State, you can count it on 2 hands. And that has to be attended to.
Well, guess what? Of course, this is the big day. This is the anniversary of Up in Smoke. And let's play a little bit because this is, of course, the iconic and I think most beloved stoner comedy ever by the great Cheech and Chong.
Hey, man, how far you going, man?
Oh, right here it'd be fine, man.
Oh, man, you ain't scared of a little speed, are you, man?
Oh, you got some speed, man?
Huh? Oh, speed? No, I don't got no speed, man. Hey, you know what I do got, though, man? I got a joint, man.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
All right.
Come on, light it up. Let's get Chinese eyes, man.
What kind of joint is this, man?
Oh, it's a heavy-duty joint, man.
It looks like a toothpick, man.
No, it's not a toothpick, man.
No, hey, it is a toothpick, man.
Oh, man, it's just... It is a toothpick. I must have got it in the other pocket, man.
And who could forget that? By the way, how perfect is it? It is 420, and we have with us here now live on the Curtis and Cosby Show, Tommy Chong and Cheech Marin. Cheech and Chong. Tommy, great to have you here, first of all.
Oh, thank you for being had. I love it.
You know what? We love this. First of all, what does 420 mean to you, baby?
420, it means I get to celebrate what I do every day at 420.
Which, give us some detail. You can say it. Go ahead. Let's hear what you do at 420.
I light up my Chong's Choice. It's a weed that I sell in all the legal states. And I just, you know, my job is to test the quality. I'm the quality control inspector of the company. And that's what I do. I smoke up and I watch Up in Smoke.
Now, I have a question. Tommy,
times.
How many people are dying to be the tester with you?
Oh, that's another thing I do, too. I'm going to start... I'm getting an app where people can buy the app and then they can get high with me whenever they feel like it.
By the way,
I'm going to take care of all those people.
I don't know if you heard, but my great co-host here, Curtis Sliwa, officially got his medical marijuana certificate and went in today. Curtis, you got to tell him what you did, Tommy.
That's right, Tommy. Went into MedMen Stores, which just opened up on Fifth Avenue in Manhattan.
The Big Apple store, they call it.
Yes, and well-run, very professional pharmacists at your beck and call, and people who are really in need, all kinds of physical problems, getting their medical marijuana. So like me, I didn't have to take Oxy anymore or fentanyl or morphine for the chronic Crohn's disease that I've suffered from for the last 2.5 years.
Yeah, I mean, with me, I had cancer, you know, and although I treated the cancer with pot, I used the regular treatment, you know, to get rid of the cancer, but I used pot to get my appetite back because I was down to about 140 pounds. And then, my wife said, well, go get stoned. And I did. And I've been getting stoned and gaining weight ever since.
And Tommy Chong, everybody, you're here with us on Curtis and Cosby Live. Tommy, you know, here it's been 40 years since Up in Smoke, and I think about how much has changed here in New York State, around the country, in terms of legalization of marijuana. So many states around the country, of course, medicinal and also recreational. What are your thoughts of the trend that we're seeing, and what do you think's ahead?
Well, I love what's going on. I love the fact that it's being legalized everywhere. Take is that all marijuana use is medical, whether it's recreational or whatever you want to call it. It is a medicine, been a medicine for thousands of years, and it's effective. It's an effective medicine, and even the Army recognizes that rest and recreation is a medical term that they use. In the armed forces. And so, whether it's recreation or medical, as long as you're using it, and the greatest thing about pot is that it's not addicting. You can quit anytime you want, or you don't have to do it if you don't want to do it. It's the greatest, I think that's the greatest thing about it. But the fact that it's being legalized all over the world is a good sign for the world.
All right, so let me take you back to 40 years. You're doing the movie Up in Smoke.
Mm-hmm.
We played a little bit of the cut initially when you discovered it was a toothpick and not a joint. But then you pulled out the biggest, fattest bomber joint I have ever seen and lit it up and passed it back and forth, puff, puff, pass. Was
Curtis,
that the real stuff? Was
Curtis
that the real
fantasizing
stuff?
Fantasizing about that, Tommy. You know that.
Was that the real stuff? Of course it was the real stuff. We wouldn't use anything but the real stuff in the movies, you know. You know, everything you see in movies is real. You know that.
I thought maybe it was method acting. You know, method acting.
Oh, well, a little bit of method acting, but no. It was real movie dope. That's what we call it.
Where do you see the trend going, Tommy Chong, in terms of legalization of marijuana? And what's your message to New York? Because, of course, right now it's legal for medicinal, Curtis Sliwa, among the users as of today. But where do you see it headed to states like New York?
Well, New York, you got to remember, you know, you got a lot of criminal mob influence in New York, you know. So there's a big black market industry that's going on right now as the rest of the country gets legal. You know, New York is still got a big, huge black market thing going. And so as soon as, you know, you guys settle that out, think of the taxes. Look what's gone on in Colorado, where, you know, the schools are benefiting, the roads, the infrastructure, from the millions and the millions of dollars that they're raising in taxes just on recreational and medical marijuana. So as soon as New York realizes what they're missing out on, and as soon as, you know, you can get the politicians together, it's gonna be legal everywhere.
And thanks so much for joining us, Tommy Chong. I know we're going to bring in Cheech Marin now. And Curtis, it's so fascinating to think about when you're hearing about 40 years that it's been since up. And of course, you had to ask if that was legit. We all remember that image with the big old...
biggest bomb of joint I've ever seen in my life.
Did you see that, too, when you were there this morning? When
yes.
You were at the
medicinal
clinic?
No, they don't have that. They have just the vapes, you know, everything very professional. They have the liquids. And they have the pills. So they don't have marijuana as we traditionally know it as teenagers, where you would take it and then you would roll it in rolling paper and smoke it as such. You know, ragweed for us when we were kids, high potency, different grades of buds now. You know, it's specific now. If you have mental situations or physical situations, you can actually get prescribed the marijuana that you need.
Wow, very wild. Well, let's go now to Cheech Marin, who joins us here, the other dynamic part of the dynamic duo of Cheech and Chong. Cheech Marin, great to have you here with Curtis and Cosby. How are you, Cheech?
I'm good. How are you guys today?
Yeah, we're doing great. I don't know if you just heard, but Curtis here had just signed up for medicinal marijuana. He got his certificate. He went today. Where do you see the trend going?
Way to go, my man, Curtis.
There you go. I knew you'd be happy with that. That's why I told you, Cheech.
What took you so long?
Yeah, well, you know, it took me a while to puff pass.
Yeah, yeah. My dad was a LAPD for 30 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, now, all my uncles were cops, too. I come out of a family of cops.
Now, what do they think of you and your position on obviously supportive of marijuana? What's the reaction, Cheech Marin?
Well, they're thankful that I got a job, you know, and that overrides everything else.
Have they ever talked to you? Because, you know, there are a lot of people in law enforcement who still have problems with the idea of it being legalized. They talk about it being a gateway drug.
I don't run into any of those guys. I mean, I really don't. I mean, every cop that I've ever talked to, it's like, you know, it's like busting somebody for beer or something. You know, they don't really. I mean, I'm sure some places that they do, but they will not. They will not bust you for weed unless they want to bust you for something else.
Now, Cheech, for years, a lot of politicians were like Sergeant Joe Friday from Dragnet. They wanted to lock you up, you, Cheech Chong, and anyone else. What does it feel like today that those same politicians want to take pictures with you and they're patting you so hard you have to go for a chiropractic adjustment?
You know, I try not to deal with politicians at all, just on a health preventative sort of agenda.
What's your thoughts, Cheech? Here it is, and everybody, we're talking to Cheech Marin, of course, the other part of Cheech and Chong, live here on Curtis and Cosby. Cheech, what are your thoughts? Here it is, 40 years since Up in Smoke. As you look back, did you ever realize how iconic that film is? And, you know, it is like, you know, it's like the Rocky Horror Picture Show. There's only two or three things that you're like, everybody knows Up in Smoke.
Yeah, it's amazing that I knew it was going to be successful right out of the bat because I knew what our audience was. I knew that because I looked across the footlights every night at them. I knew how many there were, what they were consisted of. So I knew that you could run this film backwards with Japanese subtitles and they would be find an audience. But what really surprised me was the longevity of it and what that indicated, what this was a worldwide phenomenon. Even more than the records or stage show, when we hit movies, it was like it, all over the world simultaneously. And that really identified that stoner culture that was alive everywhere.
And now, before we let you go, Cheech Marin, any advice for Curtis Sliwa as he goes on this new journey that you're an expert on?
Chill and have fun, man. Listen to some music. Hang out with your kids. Eat some food, you know, without anxiety. And this is the best defense against anxiety that we know. You know, I was always kind of like, oh, the medical benefits. Like, oh, yeah. Until last year, I started coming down with a lot of nausea because of some stomach conditions, and it was really debilitating. And so they gave me all these prescriptions for all these drugs that would work for a little while, they would stop. I discovered that as soon as I smoked marijuana, my nausea would disappear immediately.
And what is your preferred type of marijuana that you like to smoke, Cheech? Because there's so many brands out there, so many different gradations.
I like the free kind. You know, that's my favorite. And they have that everywhere.
I'm sure they do.
They do. Everywhere.
Well, Cheech Marin, we love you. Yes, we're so happy you're here. So honored to have you and Tommy Chung here on this 40th anniversary of Up in Smoke. Great to have you with us.
Well, my pleasure. You have a good 420 day. Light up.
Thank you very much. The great Cheech Marin and Tommy Chung here on Curtis and Cosby. We're going to take your calls. What do you think about legalization of marijuana? What do you think about Curtis becoming now a medicinal marijuana user? 1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848-9222. Cool to have Cheech and Chung on 420. It is 12:28 here on 77 WABC. You are listening to Curtis and Cosby. We just heard, how cool is it, Curtis? Cheech and Chung on the official sort of National Weed Day 420. The perfect guest to have and to hear give you advice as you go on this new journey with medical marijuana as of a few hours ago.
Well, there's no doubt. And obviously, they were well in advance of what
sure
is now
were
happening. You heard the schmuck, no make that the putz. Chuck E. Cheese Schumer is introducing legislation in the United States Senate to decriminalize a person's use of marijuana in all 50 states in the nation. But let's go to the phones, 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Frank, who's calling from Staten Island. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here at WABC. Frankie.
Hi, Frank.
Hello, guys. Thank you very much. I just want to say marijuana should not be legalized for a variety of reasons. Number one, pot smoke contains tons of carcinogens in it. That's what Chung probably meant. Most people don't pick up on this, why he probably got the cancer in the first place. The second reason is because many people who smoke cigarettes for many years, they'll find out that, no, they were right. 20 years went by, and then they're off cigarettes for 10, 15 years, and then they come down with emphysema. Emphysema is one of the third largest killer in the United States.
Although, you know what's interesting, Frank, and Curtis knows this. I also worry if it's a gateway drug and a lot of other things. What's interesting about the medicinal, and Curtis, you can speak to this, is that it's not, you're not inhaling it. Right. I mean,
right. And,
you know,
and also to give you an example, a cigarette, you inhale it, you could chew tobacco. It doesn't matter. Any way you take that tobacco in, it can cause cancer and other problems for you. There are different forms of marijuana that don't require that you smoke it. Like today, I was looking at all types of medical marijuana in which you take it in a pill form. A lot of it doesn't have the THC that gets you high. It's like Miranol. That's the pill form. Then you have it in the liquid form, like a tincture. You put it underneath your tongue. Some of it has THC, which will get you high. Others don't. It suppresses pain and suppresses nausea and reflux. So those kinds of marijuana products are probably not going to develop cancer in you in the future or cause you other respiratory problems.
No, I understand that, and those forms I don't have a problem with. But you also don't want your cab driver picking you up high on pot.
Well, and you bring up a great point, too, or somebody getting behind, you know, the wheel driving, whether they're driving you or driving in a separate car. I mean, there's so many issues that I think still need to be explored but that's recreational use. Do you agree, Frank, with medicinal that it's okay?
I think Frank is gone because
right now
our news guy is teed up and ready to go. It's, in fact, Lisa Ritchie. I got my genders all scrambled.
It's from that medicinal marijuana visit.
Could be. And then we'll go into the nitty gritty of not just medical marijuana, but to push for legalized recreational use of marijuana, which is taking the country by storm.
Everybody must get stoned.
You knew we were going to play this one, Curtis Lewa. It is 4:20, officially Weed Day, and we just had Cheech and Chong here on Curtis and Cosby.
And let me educate people about medical marijuana, because obviously it's different than the recreational use of marijuana.
And now you are an official expert as of a few hours
official
ago.
Official expert. So if you're going to talk about hillbilly heroin, oxycodone, you know I'm an expert on that. Was on it, addicted to it for 2.5 years. Fentanyl for about 6 months. Morphine for many, many months. So I know how hard it is to break off of those very addictive substances. And medical marijuana has enabled me to now digest food, not to have nausea, reflux. And most importantly, when I do get the pains post-surgery that I had in December, it's able to suppress it. And yet I'm able to function. And what people don't realize, they look at a Cheech and Chong movie, like going up in smoke 40 years ago, and you're clearly getting high. They're smoking a joint, and it has THC. So it's for recreational use. The medical marijuana comes in different forms. You can get it so that there is no THC whatsoever. So you're not getting high.
Now, what did it look like when you went to? By the way, I'm so fascinated to hear you describe what it looked like when you. What was it like? I've been to Amsterdam.
Right.
And in Amsterdam,
no.
You know, it's like,
no,
here's the selection.
I've been to Amsterdam also.
You know,
so
yeah.
It's not like the coffee shops, right. You know, with the hash and then the marijuana. No. It's like you walked into the old Fortune Off jewelry store.
Wow.
Everything is in a glass case. You don't get to touch it, but they have instructional laptops in which you press and it describes the items. Like, for instance, you could get the liquids, and there's a liquid that has no THC. There's some that has some THC, and there's some that has a lot of THC. But it tells you specifically the ailments that you have, what would be best for you. But they don't leave it just to the iPad. They have pharmacists right there.
Oh, interesting.
Guide you through the process. And then if you've qualified, because you can only get in the door if you've qualified, if you have the actual ID card issued by now the health department of the state of New York, because a doctor has certified that you can use medical marijuana, you then have to go to the pharmacological desk. Again, give all your other information. They question you exhaustively about your needs. And then they'll give you the medical marijuana of your choice, but with guidance.
Well, that's what I was going to say. And I have your official certificate.
Yeah.
I'm looking at a copy. You gave it to me. It's really, you know,
so
you have to
tell
go through
they'll
it
tell
all
you,
right.
You know, if you're going to be working, you might want to use either the liquid or the pills or the vape in which it doesn't have THC.
Right.
So you don't have a buzz. You're not high.
Do you get to sample?
No
okay,
samples.
All right.
Again, it's sort of like everything is behind the case. It's like walking into the old Fortune Offs.
That's wild.
And because it's on Fifth Avenue, immediately there is status associated with it, whereas the two other marijuana clinics, boy, you'd have to go and try to find them. And then it was like walking into a methadone clinic.
Right.
So you felt like you were doing something wrong, like you're a dope fiend or an addict. And now you walk in, and it's like you're walking into Prado.
It's nice.
You're walking into Tiffany's.
Wow.
You know, any kind of... And that's the way the medical marijuana patient should be treated.
So now let me ask you, did you try some, obviously, this morning? I got to ask you the $50 million question.
No, I made two purchases, one with the pills, one with the liquid. And obviously, I'll only use it when I need it.
See, so it's only as needed.
Well, in my situation, it will only be as needed. There are other people, obviously, they may need it on a regular basis.
And how much should they give you? How much of a supply?
You get a little bottle, which is the tincture, or you get the bottle of pills, which is like what you would get normally at a drugstore if you were getting a prescription, let's say, of oxycodone that I had for 2.5 years. And the vape is in a little pen form, so it's only like maybe 2 or 3 puffs, and then the pen, you can't use it anymore.
And then you have to go for a refill.
You go
so
for a refill.
Right. Okay.
It's expensive.
That's what I was going to ask you. How much was it about?
You're talking about $50.
Okay. Any of it covered by insurance?
No.
None
of
it.
Not at this point.
Not at all.
Not that I'm aware of. It may well be. I'm not a cognoscenti on that. Obviously, I was just paying out of pocket, but... the point is it should be available to people in need. And there were people there.
I'm actually surprised that it's not, because it is now regularly allowed by the state to have medicinal. Oh. It's interesting that it's not insured.
We had some of our listeners there. And they had a series of ailments, and you could just look at how frail they were, and you could see, boy, they've walked in the valley of death,
right.
And they've come back, and they've said, I've had to illegally use marijuana because the state was so arcane in its restrictions. Now I feel like, wow, I can do this openly, legally. I don't have to hide it. You know, people understand it's for medical, medicinal purposes. And you could just see people felt so much better because the professionalism of the MedMen store was top shelf, 5-star.
Wow.
I really felt great being there, even though I had to wait online because, you know, they don't just give you the prescription. You got to, you know, jump through a few hoops, and it's rightfully so.
Which is good.
Yes.
Which is good. And I've said this, you know, I'm not sure about legalizing marijuana in terms of recreational, but for medicinal. My mother had cancer, was in tremendous yes. amount of pain. She had lung cancer, and it spread to many parts of her body. And when you have a loved one who is in wrenching pain, and she was taking oxycodone, you know, for the pain. But if somebody had said at that point, this was years ago, hey, try this, I would have absolutely have tried it. Because when you have someone who's going through that kind of pain and someone you love, you want to do whatever you can.
The Surgeon General has just advised all citizens to carry a can of Narcan, which reverses the effect of OD that I could have had using morphine, fentanyl, or oxycodone. They don't give you Narcan. You don't OD on marijuana.
Right, right, right.
You may not necessarily have the best reaction, but you don't OD. And yet it's classified with those drugs. And then you scratch your head and say, God, we got to become more civilized in understanding that people's pain management needs require a lot of different options. Because medical marijuana may work for me, but it may not work for other people. Percocet may be doing the job for them.
Now, do they give you also guidance to, like, hey, listen, here are some of the reactions, like
yes.
anything else, okay,
yes.
and if you have a problem, call us,
yes.
test it out,
yes.
try it in a small amount.
Yes.
How do they walk you through that?
And it wasn't just because I was Curtis Lee. I was listening to what they were saying to average people coming in who had the marijuana card. You know, cautionary, this is what you use. If you got to work a job, if you don't have to work that day, you might use this. Really very thorough. I was very impressed.
Wow. So fascinating. Let's go to the callers. We got a lot of you. It's 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Mikey from New York. Mike, you're here with Curtis and Cosby. Go ahead.
Hey, Curtis and Rita. How are you guys doing?
Good. What do you think? It's so fascinating. I hope all of yours is interested. I love hearing about Curtis's journey and this experience. It's amazing.
It is. It's great. And Curtis, I hope the treatment works out for you. I really do. Good luck with that.
No, thank you. Well, you know, I'm already on the road back. I'm about half of what I should be, so hopefully I can return to what I was. And then I can punch you so hard your mother will feel the vibrations.
And your sister.
I don't want to pitch up on that, but that's besides the point. Listen, I don't think you smoke pot and drive. The only thing it's going to do is annoy people because they only drive like 5 miles an hour when they do it. So
yeah, you know, you're right because pot will make you more honest. You'll really honk the horn and go, hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. Let's go to George from New Jersey. George, you're here with Curtis and Cosby on 77
hi.
WABC.
How are you doing?
Yes, George.
Go ahead, George.
Oh, hi. Hey, I'm former Navy corpsman. You know, a medic with the Marines. And I did a short stint in a female oncology ward, and that was very depressing. Anyway, I used the non-THC oil on two of my Jack Russells that were on chemo. One had lymphoma, and another one had a liver cancer that had, you know, had spread throughout the body. And, you know, I rescued Jack Russells and other dogs and been through cancer with them and chemo with all of them, basically, you know. And these two that use the non-THC, I use the oil, by the way, I put it in their food, they seem to be at a state of, they weren't high, obviously, but I wanted to reduce the vomiting effects of the chemo, and it seemed to help them a lot.
I was going to say, I can hear them. Do they know you're talking about them in the background there, George?
Yeah, there's four of them right now, but I've had 11, and you know, when they get older, cancer seems to be like the number one thing that happens to any dog, you know, or animal. When you get old enough, that's what happens. But the two that I use the oil with, it definitely helped. I mean, I really, you know, I'm not a pot smoker. I don't even drink alcohol. I'm not against it. I'm not pro, you know. And this changed my mind as far as I think it should be medically used more often.
That's kind of wild, by the way, George, on dogs. What do you think, Curtis? That's kind of interesting on animals.
Yeah. No, I think so. And I think, because one of the programs we run in the Guardian Angels is the Guardian Angel Animal Protection Division for cats, dogs, and other animals. It could easily be used because, you know, when you take them to a vet, first off, the bills are incredible.
Yeah.
The painkillers at times, because they develop arthritis,
absolutely,
rheumatism as they age, and other stomach issues. And there are some vets who will use it. They just won't publicize it. You know, they won't say anything. Again, you know what they're afraid of? The federal government,
yep,
swooping in, taking their license away, because Jeff Sessions has sort of turned the clock back. It was good to see that the president addressed that last week, and he said, in his conversation that you brought up with the Republican Colorado senator, no, it should be a states' rights issue. They should determine an initiative and referendum or legislatively whether they want pot or they don't want pot.
It's going to be so interesting to see where it goes. We're going to continue with your calls when we come back, everybody. 1-800-848-9222.
I was going to clean my room until I got high. I was going to get up and find the broom, but then I got high. My room is still messed up, and I know why.
Why, man?
Yeah, because I got high. Because I got high.
You know, Rita, today the students have walked out of schools. They're not going back after like 17 or 20 minutes. They're out for the day.
Because of what the song says.
In Washington Square Park, they're rallying, you know, against gun violence. But all the Rastas there sell nickel and dime bags. So are they going to be sort of rallying against gun violence
and then
celebrating 420.
And then rallying to 420.
Anyway, we're going to talk about that later on in the 2 o'clock hour, but let's go to Tim in Manhattan. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here at WABC. Timmy.
Hey, Curtis. I'm just calling because I am a medicinal cannabis patient. I'm also completely disabled. And I wanted to comment that initial prescription that you received and certification is actually only good for 6 months. And to renew that runs anywhere from $300 to $400.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's interesting.
Well, I didn't know that either.
It only goes for a limited time, and then you have to do it again. Why? Is that just to make sure you don't abuse it? Is that why?
They claim that they're checking up to see how you're doing and not what, but it just seems like a money play for the.
Well, it sounds like a Cuomo plan to tax you more.
That's
through
interesting.
A fee.
Oh, although right. Maybe they want to make sure that you don't, like, you're legitimately, and also if it's a health issue, they want to make sure you're getting better or, you know, do you need it still?
6 months after, come on, Rita, yeah. $300.
Ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching.
A lot of
you also mentioned $50 or something. Well,
yeah.
the monthly cost depends on what they prescribe your need to be. Mine was on average about $300 a month. Now there's no way I can afford that.
That's way too much.
And it's for to help you get better.
And
come
remember,
on.
A lot of it is taxes.
Yeah,
a lot of it is taxes.
Bucks. Well, that's why a lot of it, you know, we had Joel Giambra here,
yes,
who was one of the guys at our gubernatorial debate. And when you hear the number of taxes that it brings into the state, it's huge.
I know, but it should be fair taxation, not over-the-top taxation, where you're charging more taxes than you are for the actual product that's been delivered to the needy, like this gentleman here, who is completely handicapped and in need of it. Come on, Cuomo, knock off the taxes and fees.
.106 here on 77 WABC, and everybody is talking about what happened in Starbucks. Because now, of course, Starbucks is planning to close all of its stores and its corporate offices. That's going to happen at the end of next month. It's a company-wide racial bias training that they're doing. And this, of course, comes at the very visible public protest that happened and the calls for the boycott of the big coffee chain, which is all over New York. We see it everywhere, all over the tri-state area. After the arrest of two African-American men at the Philly store last week. Now, remember, the store manager there called 911 when those guys refused to leave after they were trying to use the restroom. And that was because they didn't make a purchase. She said, listen, company policy is you got to make a purchase. We don't want to have you loitering. And as a result, the manager is no longer there. There's been lots of apologies to those two guys and now boycotts. And the CEO of Starbucks said he is so, so sorry.
Well, I'm embarrassed, ashamed. I think what occurred was reprehensible at every single level. But this is a systemic problem in the country. That's not to say what happened at Starbucks is not an issue. It is an issue. And it's an issue that we will address, we will fix, we take it personally. And I can promise you that I am deeply, deeply committed to comprehensive training for our people.
Now, that's the guy who took over for the founder, Howard Schultz, right?
This is Howard Schultz.
Oh, that was
that's Howard.
Howard.
That's Howard himself.
Okay,
a very docile Howard Schultz. That's why
right.
You probably didn't recognize him.
Let me compose myself because I don't want my blood pressure to hit 220 over 90
again.
Exactly, because I know Howard Schultz. Grew up in the Bayview housing projects in Canarsie along the Bell Parkway. Very humble existence. He grew up, went to Canarsie High School. But as we're high atop Madison Square Garden, the great facilities that have been provided for us to do this broadcast in freaking cold weather out there, when is spring ever going to come? We can look out and see a Starbucks on almost every corner in Midtown Manhattan. Every corner.
Absolutely. By the way, I mean, all over the tri-state, but you're right. Every place in New York, basically. I mean, I don't even think there's almost any patch in New York City where you don't see it, basically.
Before I weigh in on this and give a public pimp slapping to Howard Schultz, because, you know, he sold stale coffee for $5 and a lot of people were schmucks and lining up to buy it. But he did a really good thing when he opened up Starbucks all over the country because it was the only place in New York City you could actually use a bathroom and not have to buy a product initially. You could queue up online.
Yeah, how many people hang out there? Like, you know, the other thing, too, Curtis, this place, of all companies, this company is so, you know, I think, welcoming. They hired refugees as baristas.
Right.
Remember, it came out, they had the Race Together hashtag written on their cup. I mean, this is a company that's been very welcoming.
When you think of the most liberal progressive companies internationally, because they're an international company, I think of one, IKEA. The Swedish furniture store, they lead the way.
Yep.
Then there's Ben and Jerry's from Vermont. We know how liberal they are.
Yeah.
And then there's Starbucks, created by Howard Schultz. You couldn't be any more liberal and progressive. In fact, when you go to order your item there, oftentimes the baristas are people of color. And as you mentioned, they're refugees or they're immigrants.
Yeah.
And you say, you're going to do this all because you had a problem in one store in downtown Philadelphia. Could you play us some of the audio so we can try to make an assessment based on what these two African-American guys are claiming was abuse against their rights?
Yeah, well, and let's play, if we could, let's play a little bit of, let's do 7 and 8 a little bit. Let's do cut 7, first of all, because these are the guys describing what happened to us. They were on Good Morning America, and they say that they were only there 2 minutes before law enforcement basically were called in, before they were, and they said, listen, we're in there. They actually said they were there for a meeting with a real estate guy. And they were business folks. They were not super dressed up. If you see the way they were very, very casual dressed up.
Lots of people have meetings at Starbucks.
That's what I'm saying. How many people? I know so many. I mean, I can think of so many times. I think of a big CEO. I remember I had two big friends who were huge CEOs. And guess what? They're like, hey, Rita, let's meet at Starbucks.
Yeah, and you know,
everybody meets at Starbucks.
From City Hall in Manhattan, you know, you have the city council people. They have their offices on Broadway. They prefer to have meetings in the Starbucks, which is on the other side of City Hall as you approach the Brooklyn Bridge. Oftentimes, you walk in at that Starbucks, you see councilman here, councilwoman here,
yeah.
And they're meeting with constituents in the Starbucks because they don't even want to bring them to their own office that we pay for.
Yeah, how funny is that? It's just a nice welcoming.
That's a double oofah to you elected officials, you 51 slackers and deadbeats of the city council.
It definitely is. And here's a little bit of what they say happened. This is one of the guys who was there.
Rashawn, how long was it before you asked to use the restroom?
Immediately, as soon as I walked in. And she stated that they were for paying customers only, and I just left it at that moment.
And then here's a little more. This is Rashawn and Dante describing, too, that was Robin Roberts on Good Morning America, describing a little more of what they say happened when the cops came.
As soon as they approached us, they just said we have to leave. There was no question of, you know, was there a problem here between you guys and the manager? You know, what happened?
When you were arrested, did they tell you what you were being arrested for?
No, not at the time. He wasn't read any rights. Nothing. Just double locked, handcuffs behind our back, and escorted out and put into a squad car.
Now, by the way, Curtis, in the Starbucks, there is a sign that says no sitting if you're not buying, no loitering. And these guys said, yeah, you know what, rules are rules, but the rules are not correct in this case.
What do you say to some people who say rules are rules, that Starbucks has a policy, you violated that policy?
What I say is I understand that. Rules are rules, but what's right is right and what's wrong is wrong. And that's in any situation, whether it's race involved, anything.
And of course, you know, it takes about 2 seconds, Curtis, for Al Sharpton to get into this one. Here's a little
bit
of Al.
But the other thing that I think is just as egregious that no one, not enough, is talking about, why aren't we also dealing with why did the police arrest them? Mm-hmm. The store manager didn't make the arrest. Why would the Philadelphia police, with no probable cause and no crime, make the arrest? Mm-hmm. So I think you've got to deal with Starbucks and you've got to deal with the Philadelphia police, just like we're dealing with this case in Crown Heights.
I smell boycott here,
yeah,
and I'll
sure.
explain momentarily. First off, after leaving the medical marijuana clinic, MedMen, on Fifth Avenue, I decided to pass by the Sheraton Hotel, which is where the annual Al Sharpton Shakedown, Al Slim Shady Sharpton Shakedown of Contributors is taking place.
The National Action Network annual convention.
Yeah, National Action Hate Network. And right across the street is a Starbucks. And who do you think in there with their badges, you know?
Was it packed? Were they in there?
Oh, yeah, lined up for their lattes, you know, for their muffins, the whole nine yards.
That would be a great shot.
You hypocrites.
That would be a great shot. Here they are saying, oh, how terrible, don't go to Starbucks. And yet, like everybody else, they go to Starbucks.
Well, because the idea here is, and this is how Al Slim Shady Sharpton makes his money. He approaches, like in this case, Howard Schultz, the founder of Starbucks, and he goes, you know, there could be demonstrations outside, more outside of Starbucks.
Unless you donate to National Action Network.
Well, if you make a contribution and buy a few tables at our annual event, we will give you a certificate of how civil rights appropriate your establishment is and your hiring practices. You can hang it in each store, signed by Al Slim Shady Sharpton with the National Action Hate Network symbol on it. And that's how he shakes down these Fortune 500 corporations. Well, I'll bet you what Howard Schultz is going to do. He's going to appoint Al Slim Shady Sharpton to his board of directors, claiming Al will make sure that there is diversity training in each one of our stores and franchises around the nation.
Now, you heard who also is a part of the racial bias training, and it's called unconscious racism is sort of the phrase that we're hearing from Howard Schultz and others, that maybe this manager didn't realize she was being racist. So they're bringing in Eric Holder, who was the former attorney general, remember, African-American under Barack Obama,
who
close
just
to the Clintons,
spoke
of course.
At the National Action Hate Network.
Yes, isn't that interesting? So he is going to be the racial bias trainer to all 8,000 stores, 175,000 employees.
Rita, you've been to many Starbucks. I've been to many Starbucks.
I have.
Starbucks.
I love Starbucks.
There is no set policy. I have walked into some Starbucks that are like bohemian in nature.
Yeah.
You could come back 4 hours later. The same people are sitting there with their laptops.
You can come back 4 years
right,
later.
Right, the same people are sitting. Nobody bothers or hassles.
Right.
I've gone into Starbucks where you could be a homeless person, emotionally disturbed person, and I've waited online behind them to use the bathroom, the facilities, and they will give them the number to punch in so they can use it. Other places, they won't.
Yes, it's they very won't. Subjective.
So it's like a floating set of rules depending on what area you're in.
And the problem is, and you know this too, in New York City, you know, you and I love the city, but one of the hardest things I think in the city is bathrooms and parking.
Oh, yeah, you have to go to a diner and order a cheeseburger special in order to use the bathroom facilities. Our politicians won't put in into the street furniture, which are bathrooms that self-cleanse themselves, that like they have in other cities around the world, because they're shaking down the vendors and the providers. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, who's right here? Is it an overreaction by Howard Schultz and the Starbucks administration? or do you think these young men's rights were violated? 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222.
Let's go to Alex from Queens. Alex from Queens, you're here with Curtis and Cosby on 77 WABC. Go ahead, Alex.
Happy 420, guys.
Thank you very much. What do you think? Who's right and who's wrong in this one?
Well, I think everything is protocol. If the Starbucks was packed and they weren't purchasing anything and they were just hanging out and lingering, you know, I mean, the manager had a right to ask because maybe the seats were needed, you know, because they encourage you to hang out, but the people who are hanging out there are paying customers. Well, I think it's wrong as the police for just arresting them, because these guys in the video didn't resist, which is a good thing that they didn't resist, because now they have the bag. They're going to get the payday from Starbucks, and they're going to get the payday from the police department of Philadelphia.
So now let me ask you, you bring an interesting point, because I agree. The cops, when the cops came, they should have just said, sir, you know, the rules are here. We're sorry to do this to you. Would you mind leaving, or whatever the case is? But I agree with, and then they were like held. According to one of the guys, I was seeing one of the stories, they were like held for like 8 hours. I mean, come on. They're just
going to a Starbucks.
Well,
they took them to the roundhouse. I've been taken to the roundhouse before in Philadelphia.
But come on, for 8 hours? Come on. Don't you think that's a bit obsessive?
They got a stale bologna sandwich. It wasn't like Starbucks quality. But it was on the taxpayer's dime.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yes. I think that the police were totally wrong here, and these guys are going to get paid because they did the right thing. Because most people get beaten up and hit by the cops because they resist. They don't want to get taken in. These guys were taken in peaceful, and now they're going to get a peaceful
payday. By the way, I agree with you. I think they are going to get a payday, you know. I agree with you. I'm not sure. You know, I think the cops definitely overstepped the line. I think, and you bring up an excellent point, too, because it didn't look like it was that crowded at the Starbucks. Sometimes if it's packed and they need the table for paying customers, but it didn't look like it was that at the time.
In the next half hour, I managed at Mickey D's, as everyone knows, in the Bronx. And I'll explain how I used to handle these very difficult situations about diversity and whether you're a paying customer or you're just freeloading space.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, with times different back then. Let's go to Dan in Dutchess County. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here at WABC. Dan?
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good. Who's right? Who's wrong?
Well, it just goes to show you how the liberals, they pander and pander and pander, but they eat their own. One of their own made a little mistake, and now they're being dragged down. And all Sharpton wants to do is go after the police, make it a police issue. It's, you know, look at Kennedy. The Kennedys of no longer any use to them. So they put out the truth about the guy that they backed for 50 years.
But let me ask you, I think in this case, I mean, it's hard to tell with the woman. It looks like, you know, I don't know what her history is, if she, you know, would single out, you know, other African Americans in the past.
There was probably not in Philly.
Yeah, well, that's what there's
that
probably
was an area integrated, a lot of traffic. No,
the only thing that hurts her, there were a couple, you know,
white
Caucasian
customers,
white customers that were in there. And they said that they were there and they were not bothered. And that, you know, so I think having some training's not a bad thing, but I think the cops really were excessive.
They're a private company. They want to close down for the week and do training in Bermuda or the Bahamas. Knock yourselves out.
Guess how much it's going to cost them. I was reading this. $16 million to close down. And then Eric Holder and Al Sharpton come in.
Oh, they'll get their payday. That's for sure.
I'd love to see what they get paid.
But also, we'll play the cut of the police commissioner, who is black, Ross. First, he was strident, and then a day later, he folded like a cheap camera. But first, let me give our numbers out. 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222.
And to the phones we go. It's 126 here on 77 WABC. Let's go to Pat from Old Bridge, New Jersey. Pat, you're here live.
Hi. Good afternoon. I've got two things to say. First of all, I live near New Brunswick, and if I'm in the New Brunswick area, I go into Starbucks. I'll walk to the back because I know I can go to the restroom. There's no guard at the door asking me where I'm going or that I have to tell them I need to use the facilities. The second thing is, we're talking about Philadelphia. We're talking about a multicultural city. I have reservations about maybe what took place, and I'm wondering if maybe everybody's a little bit trigger happy because they don't know if somebody's loitering around Are they going to be a victim?
So who do you blame, Pat? Who do you think's to blame here?
I think, you want me to tell you the truth, who I think's to blame? There's too much going on now. You're in a store. You don't know whether you're going to get hit up. You don't know whether you're going to get looted. All you have are baristas and cashiers behind. You don't have anybody that can really protect themselves. So if there's something that's questionable, I can't see somebody just hanging around. You'll call the authorities.
Yeah.
I just don't get that.
Yeah, there's a lot of things. And also the other thing, too, Pat, as a woman, I also think about, like, you know, if I was a female manager at a store, I mean, there were other people. Right? Granted, it wasn't late at night or anything like that. But there's a lot of things that kind of go on where you got to be careful these days.
Well, you know,
I don't find Philadelphia a prejudiced city. I'm
yeah, no,
well,
I don't either.
Depends on where you go, Philly. You could be in Center City, and that's where all the hipsters and millennials have moved to. You can go to Kensington and Somerset, dope fiend city, rough.
Yeah, there's some
very rough.
And I was just there for the convention that took place, the
right.
Democratic convention. And you walk away from that convention arena,
so
there's some bad parts.
You have a lot of Starbucks in Philly, but depending on what neighborhood it's in, you have to run them differently.
Right, you
the
do.
The ones outside of, let's say, Temple University on North Broad Street. You would run far differently than one near Kensington and Somerset near the hospital, which you're going to have a lot of riffraff drifting in.
Yeah, but I think overall you got to treat people fairly, and you got to treat everybody. You know, skin color should not play a role.
Right. Let's go to Andrew, who's calling Rita from New Jersey. Welcome to WABC, Andy.
Curtis knows a lot. You were a manager. A quick manager, a quick impression of you as a manager. Yo.
Yeah, he's like, an expert. What do you think, Andy, too? What do you think?
I think that I want to see the video tape. They claim it's 2 minutes. So if it's really 2 minutes, let's see the tape.
Yeah, that's true. They have not released the videotape for public consumption.
We've seen parts of it, and in parts of it, the cops seem the part I've seen.
I don't
is
think
the
that's
part
not
about the cop.
Store video. It's I think somebody taking it from their cell phone. The store video, of which they have many cameras in a Starbucks,
you
like they do most stores now.
We haven't seen the beginning of it, like you said.
Right.
We haven't seen what started it at the very, very
right.
beginning.
We should
of it.
We should be privy to that since it's become an international incident now.
It sure has. Let's go to Debbie from Brooklyn. Debbie, you're here with Curtis and Cosby on 77 WABC. Go ahead, Deb.
Hi, guys. I do not believe this was a racist act whatsoever. I'm tired of everybody playing the race card. It was mishandled from beginning to end. Why the manager called the police, I don't know. If I was a manager, I would have gotten someone in the store that worked with me to just ask the gentleman that was sitting there, guys, are you hanging out? Are you waiting for someone? Could you order while you're waiting? Calling the police, I thought was ridiculous. And the police are the ones that should have never arrested these people. This is where it went crazy.
And Deb, I agree with you on both counts. I also don't understand, I mean, you know, like, I mean, I've gone to restaurants, I've had gone where they're like, they know who I am, and they're like, oh, Rita, you know, and I'll order a drink, or order a water, or order a whatever. I don't know why they kind of didn't get something.
I never would call the police when I managed McDonald's in the Bronx. In the next half hour, we're going to hear from the Philadelphia Police Commissioner, who at first defended the police.
African-American police commissioner, too.
But then claimed a day later he didn't know how Starbucks functioned. Yeah, right. And he was down on wounded knee. And then you're going to hear from the documentary Vigilante how I used to run the McDonald's in the Bronx.
Uh-oh.
And I guarantee you I'd be doing triple life without parole in Philly right now if you used Curtis Lewa standards. But let's get a little news headlines and updates.
Curtis and Cosby.
The group dedicated to fight crime.
The New Midday Show. Get in now. 800-848-WABC.
Talking about the Red Angels of NY City.
.138 here on 77 WABC, and the two guys are free after they said that they were held by police for 8 hours at that Starbucks, which has now become an international incident. And Curtis, the police commissioner there, who's an African-American police commissioner, said, you know,
Ross.
Yeah, Ross, right, exactly. Right. Richard Ross said, you know, he looked at it and at first started trying to piecemeal it together and figure out what happened. And this is how he started explaining it.
And so at first he was in total defense of his police officers.
I can appreciate, in light of the Starbucks policy and how well known it is to many, why these two men were appalled when they were asked to leave. For this reason, me, I apologize to them.
And he went on to explain a little bit. That was the apologize. But before that, he also talked a little bit about what happened.
Well, that was the day before. He said yes. He was staunchly defending the actions of his police in arresting them.
Just the mere fact that three different warnings to leave suggests that there wasn't a rush to judgment. I mean, the officers were in there for about 15 minutes, I mean, before an arrest was made. So that should just suggest that clearly that wasn't their first course of action that they were thinking of.
Now, I know Police Commissioner Ross. He's a street smart cop.
Yeah.
He knows how Starbucks has operated over the years. He's seen them evolve as they become this giant multinational, international brand. So he's well aware, particularly if he's walked to be near Temple University.
Yeah.
That's very bohemian.
Yeah.
If he's in Center City with a lot of business people.
And this was Center City area.
Right.
This was right.
Yeah, yeah. So,
right.
Sort of, you know, it's got hipsters, yeah, millennials. It's a predominantly black city. And he's also been out near Kensington and Somerset where it's like zombies from Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah.
So he's been in and out of Starbucks. Look, if I were in Philly running the Starbucks, based on the way I ran McDonald's at night as a night manager,
you'd get the death
in the
penalty.
Late 70s.
You'd have the death penalty by
Listen
now.
Listen from the documentary Vigilante of how I used to deal with anyone in the lobby who gave me beef.
Time and time again, I'd have to go over the counter. Brothers would come up to me and they'd pull the old classic trick. They'd buy a Big Mac, they'd eat 7/8 of the Big Mac, come back up front, say, I want to see the manager. And I'd come up front and I'd look and I'd see most of the Mac was gone. Hey, I want either another Mac or I want my money back. And I would say to them, based on Don Chin's training, what do you think? Because I'm white, I'm a sucker? And they'd say, okay, you're going to claim that I'm ripping you off, white boy? You better come over here, and we'll settle our differences man to man. And back then, it was one-on-one. The crowd would yell, one-on-one, one-on-one, black and white. That's all you had to do. And people started pouring in the streets. And I could handle myself. And, man, I would pick them up, body slam them, and you would hear the bones in their rib cage rattle.
Oh, my goodness. Curtis, I forgot. I saw the documentary. Mike, can you imagine if that happened today, my friend?
I never called the police. If I couldn't handle it, then it was time for me to hang up the Golden Arches and get out of that part of town.
You know what it was? You needed to call it not the Golden Arches. You needed to call it the Golden Gloves.
Exactly. Because it was. You're right. Very good.
Thank you.
Now I'd be doing triple life without parole.
Oh, my goodness.
Let's go to Larry from Brooklyn. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here on WABC. Larry?
Yeah, hi, guys. You know, the way you make it sound, it would have to have been Ronda Rousey to be the manager in order to enforce what you did.
Oh, my God. But, Larry, you know what? It was like that back then. I mean, it's funny, too. You think about how times have changed, you know? My gosh.
Yeah, but I'm trying to make a point. And the point is she was a woman, and it says that they cursed at her. So why are we ignoring the elephant in the room? They cursed at her. So what is she supposed to do? Just walk away with her tail between her legs?
Well,
and say, okay.
Well, look, you can't call the police just because you've been cursed at.
And if
you did that, the cops would be
yeah,
shuttling back and forth from the precinct to your place of business or your restaurant like every hour. I mean, that's just the nature of things.
She didn't call the police because she was cursed. She called the police because they wouldn't leave after they cursed her.
Yeah,
well, see, I think
still,
what she should have done, Larry, as a woman, she should have gotten, and I can understand, you know, you see these guys, whether they're white or black, they're tall. You know, I'm trying to figure out the size that she was, but I feel like as a woman, what I would have done if I were in her position, and if I felt like, okay, they are loitering, I'd go over and get a male coworker and say, hey, would you go talk to them for me?
I would bet
you.
She's the manager. She's not allowed to put people in harm's way. She's in control of the restaurant. Howard Schultz is a big hypocrite. That's what he is.
Well, that he is.
Yeah, well, that's the case.
There
I agree
no
on that
There is no doubt about
one.
That because
yeah,
this is one store. He's closing all the stores for retraining. Hey, look, it's their dime. It's a private business. Knock yourself out. But Starbucks is one of the friendliest places
you can
walk into.
They hired refugees to work behind the counter as baristas.
Right,
they had the hashtag.
You can put up your laptop, sit there all day long. You know, you grow barnacles on your backside sitting there. Nobody hassles you.
Well, see, what I think they should have done was said, listen, maybe there's some things we should have done differently. Maybe there's this. Maybe there's that. We're going to do training anyway. But to throw in the towel, that may be extreme.
Let's go to John in Staten Island. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here at WABC. Johnny?
Hi, Curtis. Curtis, you remember W.O. Diana back in the day?
Sure.
All right, so we were hanging out in the little lobby there, and the cops came in, and they kicked us out. We came back later on. He came in again. He grabbed us. He gave us all tickets. We had to go in front of the judge. The bottom line is, if you ain't buying, you got to go. You can't leave. You can't stay there.
Yeah, but you see, it's Starbucks, and maybe it's good.
It's got
that
such an open door policy.
Right, maybe it's good that they are retraining their staff because different Starbucks handle things differently depending on where they are and the normal clientele who come in. I mean, I've seen that all over the country.
In Manhattan, they let anyone stay.
Yeah, they do.
They should have a solid policy. And you know who else needs training? Police officers. Police officers they got to start handling situations better.
Oh, yeah, they could have talked this through. See, the problem is once you take the silver cuffs out and you put them on somebody, you can't just take them off. Now, at times you can, but most times, next stop is the Roundhouse, Central Booking in Philly. Now,
don't take them out. They should have discussed it with them and said, listen, guys, quite frankly, they should have said, hey, listen, we'll go buy you a cup of coffee.
Right.
Sit here. That's the way to resolve it. You know,
there are three kinds of Starbucks that Howard Schultz opened up. The smaller ones never had bathrooms for the general public because there's some really small ones.
Yeah.
Then the mid-sized ones and the large ones, they always had a bathroom for their personnel. And a bathroom for the general public.
Right.
And for a long time, they would let anyone come in. It didn't matter. You didn't have to buy anything.
Yes.
And you would see a line. There'd be like 8, 9, 10 people. And you would say, yeah, how nice of Howard Schultz. He rips you off at the counter.
Right.
You know, charges you. You got to take a reverse mortgage to get a cup of coffee. But at least, like, at the time.
Yeah, you don't put a quarter in to use the bathroom.
But at the time, I had the prostate issue. So every few blocks, I'd have to go to the bathroom. And there was always a Starbucks.
Right.
Then they realized people were taking advantage of that, particularly with the growing number of homeless and emotionally disturbed all over the country, not just here. And so they limited it. So you'd have to go to the counter. You'd have to ask for the code, which they change on a regular basis, so you could get access. And obviously it helped if you bought something. But it didn't necessarily mean you had it.
Well,
they basically were profiling you at that point.
It's subjective. You're right. But you know what's interesting? And, you know, I have a Starbucks not too far from me. And, all over the area, there's Starbucks. And I see some pretty creepy crawlers in there. But, you know, they're there. They know who they are. There's actually a good relationship. And that's the way it works. And sometimes, you know, it's over the top who they let in. So, I mean, that's why I feel like they need some sort of a uniform policy. Let's go to Joe from Staten Island. Joe, you're here with Curtis and Cosby on 77 WABC. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, how you doing?
Good.
I got some very, well, not very well news, but I had Dunkin' Donuts in Brooklyn. I think, Curtis, you probably know my store on 86th Street Avenue U.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, I was there since 1982. I retired. I had a few stores there. And here's how I took care of all the problems. First of all, there's a rule. If you have less than 15 chairs, you don't have to have a bathroom.
Right.
That's the first thing. But I did have room for that. So here's what I had. When I first took over, there were a lot of kids, especially at night around 6:30, 7 o'clock. They hang out because I have a big parking lot. They hang out there. They drink. They throw the bottles on the street or whatever.
What did you do?
Well, here's what I did. First of all, one of the guys, you know, that's the time with the wise guys. They were there.
Yeah.
And I had a vending machine, a cigarette vending machine. And this was the arrangement we had. He would put his vending machine in there, and he didn't have to pay me for anything, except if I had any problems, I would call him. and he would come down and take care of the problem.
Ah. Did you have anybody like a Curtis in there at the time?
Yeah, now let me tell you, which is so
probably
great.
Had Habib there as your manager, right?
Yeah, without a doubt. I never had problems except once with these kids, constantly, because they would give me a call at the house and say, Joe, they're there again, they're in there, they're burning under the counter, they're putting, nail polish over here, they're cursing.
So, real quick, what did you do?
Yeah, what I did is I called the guy.
Yeah, Rocco.
I told him we had a problem.
Yeah, Rocco came over and fixed it for you. Now,
A.K.A. Curtis.
The McDonald's I ran did not have any parking because it was on the main strip, Fordham and Webster. If it were a McDonald's, like at 236 and Broadway,
right,
that I also managed at night, and it had parking, and the guys were out there causing trouble, and
yeah,
I
what
gave
would you have done?
One warning, two yeah. warnings. I come out with the knife and slash their tires.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, the precinct was right down the block,
did
236
ever,
and Broadway.
Wait, did you ever do that?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. All right.
Oh, particularly on a Friday and Saturday night at 236 and Broadway.
Now, did somebody ever come back and say, hey, listen, man, did they give it back
to you?
Yeah,
they broke the front window.
Oh, no.
It had to come out of my pocket.
All right, so everybody, we're not advising you to do that. That is a condition.
Oh, no, do it the Curtis Sliwa way because
that's
you know
condition.
Something? I got the license plate number. I found out where the guy lived in Inwood.
Oh, no.
And I japped him at 4 o'clock in the morning when he least expected it.
All right, everybody, do not try this at home. We're going to continue with your calls.
It definitely wasn't taught to me at McDonald's University in Oak Brook, Illinois.
1-800-848-9222.
So wake me up when it's all over, when I'm wiser and I'm older. All this time I was finding myself and I didn't know I was lost.
And boy, this song, huge song, Curtis. It's 155 here on 77 WABC. Getting some breaking news to you guys. That the Swedish-born producer and DJ, all of us know the song so well, Avicii, has been found dead in Oman. He was at a hotel in Muscat there, the big capital there in Oman, and he's only 28 years old. And as soon as we get any more details, we're going to bring that to you. But needless to say, a big, big surprise there at a hotel room, found dead at the age of 28. And what a huge hit this was.
My bad, because he's into electronic dance music,
yeah,
which is
you
my
love.
Favorite.
Yep, I love it too.
Combination of ecstasy and speed.
You think it was drugs? We don't know at this point if it's drugs, but he's a young guy.
Right?
We don't know. Yeah. Anyway. Remember all the stuff with Prince and everything else? Oh, yeah. I just got the findings yesterday on that one.
Back to Starbucks we go. It's Gary in Red Bank. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here on WABC. Gary?
Yo, Curtis, my man. The only time I call is when I get really mad when I hear, you know, these guys were probably looking for problem. When the guy said no, it's like, all right, let's make a problem here. You know, Curtis, if I got to go to the bathroom somewhere and the guy says, you know, you got to cough up a buck, maybe buy a cookie, anything, you know, here's the buck. I got to go. I don't care about the buck, but I got to go.
Well, you know what? You bring up a good point. They should have just gone and bought, buy a bottle of water or whatever. You know, I mean, I've had that where I've been in a restaurant and they're like, we'd love if you could buy something.
Problem
you know,
is
you know.
In Starbucks, there's nothing cheap. You buy a bottle of water, it's like, my God, you think it was like imported from the ends of the world.
Exactly.
There's nothing cheap in Starbucks.
Nothing cheap. By the way, coming up, we're going to talk about a lot of students who hang out in Starbucks. It is student walkout day. What does it mean, and what does David Hogg have to say about it all?
77 WABC.
Seven minutes after the hour or two, to the barricades. The students went today as we're high atop Madison Square Garden, the great facilities provided to us in order to do this broadcast to all of you as it's still freaking freezing out there. Thank you, NJDiet.com, for keeping us nice and warm and toasty. And Rita, it was round two.
around the country, students were walking out of their respective high schools and middle schools slash junior high schools at 10 a.m. this morning. It started, obviously, at the high school in Parkland, Florida, where the shootings led to 17 dead, 16 injured. It then just had a ripple effect, again, all over the country as students were walking out, depending on their time zone. And this time, unlike the last time where they were out for 17 or 20 minutes in solidarity, they're out for the day. And I'm saying to myself, Rita, think of it. A lot of the New York City high school students have gone to Washington Square Park.
Right.
Where, unfortunately, the adults have co-opted their rally. It's featuring the schmuck, no make that the putz, Chuck E. Cheese Schumer. It's featuring Gillibrand, the other U.S. senator in New York. And it's featuring the former head of the Union of Failed Teachers, who is now the head of the American Federation of Teachers. And I'm saying to myself, I thought this was a kids' rally for kids, you know, espousing what they want done in order to decrease gun violence in the country. And it occurs on 420, National Marijuana Day. So having spent a lot of time in Washington Square Park, especially not far from the monument, there's a dog run. That's where all the Rastafari, that's right, I'm a blood-clad Yankee boy, I'm busting your secret. They sit on the park benches with their Jiffy Pot hats on, and they're there to sell nickel and dime bags to the NYU students.
So you can bet, and I'm sure there are many right there, right around Washington Square Park, and some of the images that are coming out of there. I mean, it is packed when that rally
now,
took place just a few hours ago.
Are we to believe that
the
kids, are they just a rally, or are they also there to puff, puff, pass the peace pipe?
I'd say it's a little combo of both.
Well, they could.
You think,
combine
right?
the holiday.
You know? Come on.
But just to give you an idea, you can go online and look at our Facebook page, the Curtis and Cosby Facebook page, and you'll see a number of events today. A, when I went down to the medical marijuana clinic that just opened, MedMen, on Fifth Avenue, you can see as I peruse through the store, since I am now certified as a medical marijuana patient in the state of New York, but you can also see the guardian angels that I lead who have been down at Parkland High School ever since the shooting.
Yeah, which is very cool. By the way, and a shot of some of the guys there with David Hogg.
Well,
I love
David
that.
Yep. In the meetings leading up to the second walkout, the principal and the students invited us to do the security because, yeah, as you know, they weren't all that impressed with the FBI and the Broward County Sheriff's Department. So the police didn't mind us
sort of
filling the
void. I was going to say, it's actually a great solution. You had shown me the picture, and I was like, that's such a cool idea, because it actually, for those who feel, you know, nervous about the relationship with authorities, with cops, it's sort of a nice middle ground to fill that hole.
They gave us a tent. We're right outside the entrance. We're there every day.
How many of you are down there?
Well, it rotates, because we're there from 4 in the morning till dark, because after school activities until about 7. So I'd say between 12 to 18 different guardian angels a day. And we will check the bags before people come in and check the IDs, so that this way the police are not interacting with some parents, some students, and some teachers who are going to give them lip about what they didn't do when the original attack occurred. They walked out at 10. But then nearby, 2 hours away at a high school, in what they call Gator Alley, you know, on your way to Fort Myers, cutting through the Everglades.
Yep.
There was another shooting in a high school. Thankfully, not that much damage was done, but apparently a kid was shooting through the doors of the school, injured one, and then he was taken away.
You know what I'd like to see today, too? Because you may have heard, also in Florida, there were two cops who were killed. And they were at a restaurant, and it looks like, from what we're hearing in some of the latest reports, it may have been a cold-blooded sort of focusing on the cops.
It was an execution.
Yes. So where are the rallies for them today to support what happens to authorities, to protect authorities, these men and women who are putting their lives on the line?
But notice,
I'd like to see some protests for them, too, supporting them.
Florida has become the epicenter of the gun control debate. There are a lot of Second Amendment believers there. People have lots of guns there. But it's also become the epicenter of the gun control rallies. And as we can see, as you mentioned, I think it was in Trenton, Florida, two police officers at the local sheriff's department taking a break in a Chinese restaurant, sitting right in the window area. Guy walks up and just executes them through the window. And then I think eventually shoots himself, kills himself when the cops are chasing him, the other cops who responded. We don't know any of the background of the guy yet. I'm sure that will come out as to whether he's just a crazy guy or he was on some political mission to take out cops, whether he was far right or far left. Who knows? We'll get the details. But it's certainly at the epicenter of the debate. And in fact, ladies and gentlemen, now that the students have a second walkout, this one lasting all day, Board of Education, a.k.a. Department of Education in New York City, dumbest organization ever, has declared if you skip school today, you're in trouble.
Yeah, and in fact, your favorite guy, the new school's chancellor here in Carranza, came out and asked the Latin lover, the cucaracha, Carranza, has come out and said that if the students decide to walk out, that it is not a good idea. He came out, in fact, and put out a message to a lot of the schools yesterday saying, don't do it. We're not, because, it, you know, what are they going to have it every day, once a month? We're going to have this walkout. And that's the problem. Even though I think the message is a good one. I like seeing the students rallied.
I asked some of the guardian angels in the city to visit the nearby high schools to see if anybody actually stayed in school.
Yeah, did any? Nada.
So far.
According to Carranza.
Right. So far, none that we know of.
Oh, my God. There's not one that turned around.
But anyway, ladies and gentlemen.
By the way, it's a Friday, too. Come on, of all days.
What do you think of the students' efforts at a second walkout, this one lasting all day long, as they try to muster the nation to combat gun violence? 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. And, in fact, how the adults are co-opting the whole rally. In Washington Square Park, the three key speakers are the Schmuck, the Putz, Chuck E. Cheese Schumer, Hillebrand, and the former head, Randy Weingarten of the UFT, Union of Failed Teachers, now the head of all the teachers in America, Federation of Teachers.
Cuomo, too, not too long ago.
Oh,
remember
yeah,
Cuomo
down,
at
remember.
The last one, laying down. And you know who we haven't heard from today, really, as you're pointing out, are the students. I mean, remember, this was David Hogg at one of the early ones where he was speaking out. Here's a little bit of David Hogg.
I say to those politicians that say change will not come, I say we will not stop until every man, every woman, every child, and every American can live without fear of gun violence. And to that I say, no more. Thank you. I love you all. God bless all of you, and God bless America. We can and we will change the world.
Sound like a politician. I was about
to say. I was about to say he's going to write. Is that not like a stump speech?
He's writing a book.
Yes, and
never again.
And he can vote now too.
Can vote, and a lot of these young people have signed up, and they will be voting. But it's sounding more like he's Boss Hogg.
than
you know, leading the kids, and I think not necessarily sophisticated enough to understand how the adults are just co-opting this movie.
Well, and I think, listen, I loved when I saw that the kids were coming out, and all the folks, whether the David Hogg, and the fact they also got picked just yesterday, the Time 100 list came out, the top, like, sort of 100 influential people in the world. And the group, the sort of key group, the Mendez, I think, is the woman, and Hogg, and, you know, it's like the three or four of the big, big faces of Parkland were picked as one of them. I thought that was fabulous. I love seeing the students speak out. But you're right, it's getting so co-opted.
Well, let's open up our phone lines, 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Let's go, if we can, to James, who's calling from Long Island. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here at WABC. James.
Hi, James.
Hi, good afternoon. I was a junior in high school when Columbine High School happened. I was in gym class. I remember it. Like it was yesterday, actually, or like it was today.
Yep.
And when it happened, the safest place we thought we could be was in my school. I drive past that place now. It looks like a minimum security prison. And, you know, it's now twice my lifetime plus a year later, and there still hasn't been a president who will take control of this issue. And, you know, these kids are walking all over my neighborhood. I'm driving, and I see them walking all over the neighborhood now, and there's a forgive the pun, but there's a golden opportunity here for Donald Trump to be the person to take control of this issue.
I agree. What do you think should be done, though?
Well, for one thing, I think there really needs to be a sense of community about school and education and parenting and child rearing. And I'll disclose that I don't have children, and I come from a large family, but I don't have children of my own. There really needs to be a decentralization of the focus on any single issue, such as mental illness or guns, and more of a...
I think we lost him.
Oh, there he is. There he is. He dropped off. Go ahead.
I think we lost him.
But anyway, he's saying it is a comprehensive issue.
Interesting that he talked about Columbine, because 19 years ago, the two nut jobs walked in.
Yeah, Dylan Klebold, remember that whole deal?
Oh. Right, wasted folks in that school. And it wasn't because they were listening to Marilyn Manson or they were involved in goth, because remember, that was the prevailing theory then.
Right, they were all dressed in black, though,
the
too.
The students in Columbine were ordered not to walk out today. And you would say, huh?
Right, of all people.
That's at the epicenter.
Yep.
Of what really attracted our attention to how much damage could be done in these schools. That was 19 years ago.
19 years ago to the day.
Those students are being told, you will not walk out of school today. It would be interesting how many students defied the authorities in Columbine.
And like you said, of all places in Columbine, they absolutely should. That's where 12 students and a teacher lost their lives. And who could forget? That was just so sad. Such a terrible.
1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Keith in Long Island. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here at WABC. ABC, Keith.
Hi, Curtis and Rita. Good afternoon, guys. How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Good. Reason I'm calling is the fact that these walkouts only exacerbate the problem in that these kids don't go home and talk to their parents and discuss with their parents what the problems are that they're facing. And some of these kids who shot these kids who did that with their parents would maybe do better and not do what they're doing. Where's the communication? Walking out doesn't solve it. Plus the fact the schools get state aid for these kids in attendance in school. And that could affect the attendance and the money they get back from the state.
Oh, it does.
That do this.
On a day like today, where they're not just walking out for 17 or 20 minutes like the first time, you're absolutely right. It does affect their aid. But, Keith, if you were these kids and you've seen the flip-flopping of previous presidents, and then you saw Donald Trump chastise senators in the West Wing of the White House, you're afraid of the NRA, stand up to him. And then the very next day, he himself folded to the NRA. Come on, what are you going to do? You're going to say we got to keep the pressure on, Keith.
Curtis, I have news for you. Wayne LaPierre is only as strong as his lobby. I'm a card-carrying member of the NRA, and you want to know something? The NRA is not the issue. The guns are not the issue. It's what people do with them. It's like a vehicle or a car. When you hit somebody with a car, it's not the car that's driving itself. It's the person in the car drunk or under the influence. It's the same thing. Anything can be a weapon. LaPierre is only as strong as the lobby he represents. And you know something? Many of the people in that lobby don't want
come people on, Keith, people. Come on, be on. You didn't mention one. You didn't mention the key thing is he greases the politicians' wheels. They represent only 5% of the gun owners in America. You happen to be one of their members. Only 5%. The other 95% don't belong to the NRA, and they act like they speak for all gun owners. All they do is they wine, dine, and pocket line officials so that they'll be dependent on them in order to run for office. And look at the president. You're afraid of the NRA, senators. And the very next day, he folded to all their demands. Every one of them, tough guy Trump, folded like a cheap camera to the NRA.
Let's go to Neil from New Rochelle. Neil, you're here with Rita and Curtis. Go ahead, Neil.
Hey, Rita and Curtis, love you both.
Thank you.
Let's instead of a walk out, how about a sit in? And you go to the auditorium, all right? Instead of just walking out, and Curtis, you'll agree, they walk around, they smoke their cigs outside, and they don't.
Well, today they'll be smoking reefer. There's no doubt.
It's 420.
It is 420, yes, indeed. But it goes like this. How about just sitting down in the auditorium, providing them with the education on gun regulations or how to vote, and use that, you know, as your method of conveying your message?
Yeah, I agree. There needs to be some better communication,
well, that's,
for sure.
That's how the free speech movement came about in Berkeley, California in the early 60s. They used to have teach-ins.
Yes.
You know, in which you didn't stay in the classroom, the formal classroom. You came outside, you sat on the steps,
and you had impromptu classes on free speech, all other items.
I'd love for them to bring in speakers. You know, bring in, you know, I actually think what would be brilliant is, you know, you maybe have it, have a police officer come in one day. You have a student who, you know, was a victim one day. You have, I mean, I think it'd be so fascinating. Use this moment.
Yeah, but Rita,
you know?
You know, these kids knew. By walking out today, it was also 420.
But
you knew they combined both days.
And it's a Friday.
Exactly.
And it's sunny.
1-800-848-WABC. Let's go right to the phones, Rita. And it's Caroline calling from Long Island. Welcome to WABC, Caroline.
How are you, Curtis?
Oh, I'm great. I'm feeling fine.
I'm sitting and looking at Lake Ronkonkoma, and I said, I have to give you guys a call.
Oh, number, we're jealous.
Number one, Rita, I have listened to Curtis for years, watch him on TV. You are the only one who keeps him in check.
Bravo, bravo.
You have made the show worth listening because you're his equal. You just bang back at him when he thinks he's right.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I'm having fun. You know, it's not always easy when you got a guy like this, but I'm trying.
Oh, you do very well.
Thank you.
And Curtis, I love you. Even I wanted to talk about these kids. Because you listen to them, they're not going to gain a following leaving school during the week. Because leaving school during the week, 50% of these kids are leaving the school to protest only because they want to get out of school. If they want to start to get a following, they need to get some kind of an agenda, and they have to do this on
Carolyn,
their time off.
Carolyn, what do you mean, a following? They have hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people attending rallies all over the country. It wasn't just on school days. They've done it at the mall in Washington, where they turned out over 100,000 people. They've got a movement. It's just what they do with it.
But what they're doing during the week is, all they're doing is getting stroked by these politicians. What has happened since then?
That's the problem.
Yeah, where's the proof? Where's the proof?
When you let a schmuck, a putz like Chuck E. Cheese Schumer come in and bum rush your rally like today at Washington Square Park and Gillibrand.
They should say no politicians.
Yes,
I agree.
Randy Weingarten, the former head of the Union of Failed Teachers here in New York City, and then they kicked her upstairs for doing such a lousy job. Mm-hmm. They made her the head of the American Federation of Teachers of all teachers unions across the nation. That's the big mistake. In fact, when I was a kid in the 60s and we were protesting everything, that's why I got kicked out of school. The mantra was never trust anybody over 30.
Right.
Never trust anybody over 30, which included your parents.
And they also have a moment here, too, where the world is watching, too. It's not like they necessarily need the politicians to get the attention. They don't need them.
In fact, they would get far more attention without the politicians.
Yeah, they should say we're independent.
Wouldn't it be nice that they have their marshals, which they do? They're very organized.
Right.
And the young men, the young women who are the marshals, as these politicians are getting out of their limos,
they
you know, with their
them.
Bodyguards, they said, you can observe.
Yes.
But you're not coming up to the podium and speaking.
Exactly. We'll let you sit here.
Reserved only for the students to speak.
Yes.
And maybe victims of gun violence. Because obviously you would want somebody to tell you how difficult their life has been ever since they were shot up.
Absolutely.
You know, like Curtis Sliwa, huh?
Yeah.
Let me up there.
Actually, you could.
You'll never get the microphone back, kids.
Trust me, you guys will have a hard time pulling the mic back. I deal with it every day.
Anyway, let's get our news headlines and updates. So at high school campuses across the nation, at approximately 10 a.m. their time, they walked off of campus not to return today to go to rallies about curbing gun violence around the country. Ironic that the one campus that is not permitting it is Columbine itself. 19 years ago, they were the victims of the two nut jobs who walked in and just started slaying students and teachers at random.
Absolutely. 12 students killed there, one teacher. We all remember that. That was just so horrific when the news broke about that. And it's 19 years, as you point out, to the day. And still we haven't figured out a solution about it. I mean, you think about it, it's almost been 2 decades since that happened. And then we've got Parkland, we've got so many other shootings since then, and nothing's been resolved. And by the way, we're also getting some more details also on, we were talking about those two cops who were killed. And now it looks like they were sitting in the restaurant at first. You know, there was this case of the two cops that were killed in Florida, not too far again away from Parkland. They were at a Chinese restaurant, and it was about 30 miles west of Gainesville. And it turns out that they were actually sitting in the restaurant eating, and some guy walks up to them. There was no crime taking place, no disturbance, no reports of anything. The two deputies were in uniform, armed, when they were shot. And hearts and, you know, everything goes out to them and their family, of course. I mean, how sad. No warning, you know, and then he was found dead outside the business. But I'd like to see some protests supporting our police officers, too.
The assassin took his own life.
Yes.
We'll see what his background was. But let's go right to the phones, really. It's Ed calling from Forest Hills. Welcome to Curtis and Cosby here at WABC, Eddie.
How's the lousy show doing, huh? You only have three. You're only on 12 to 3, and you make fun of Michael Savage all day. You got the worst show on earth, please. And you think you? And if you ever make fun of Orthodox Jews ever again, I'll have the entire WhatsApp group calling your lousy, crappy show.
Really?
Rip it.
Go for it, pal. Go for it, pal.
Ooh,
because I will criticize anybody, anytime, any place when they're wrong.
The discipline, you sleaze, you Brooklyn sleaze, you got thunder thighs, jelly bellies. You thunder thighs.
See this guy?
Eddie's getting.
You know
Lily.
What it is? I think I could tell he hit the Maui Wowie, the Hindu Kush today for 420.
Yeah, oh my, he's got a lot of aggressions against you, Curtis.
He's been hitting the bong a little bit too much.
Yeah, let's go to Joel from New York. Joel, please be a little bit of a voice of reason here. Go ahead, Joel.
Hi, I'm calling from Valley Stream. I just wanted to tell Curtis I have two grandchildren that attend Parkland. Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School.
Oh, you do? And, you have two grandkids who are there at that school.
I do, and they were both kind of involved in the incident that day. Luckily, they both got out safe. I was down there the last week in March when they were off from school to kind of give them a lot of support, which they definitely need, unfortunately, sadly. But when the last day I was there, or the day before that, Curtis's group, the Guardian Angels, had set up a tent in front.
I know. Isn't that awesome? How cool is that, Curtis, that he recognized?
Yeah, well, Joel, the reason we did that, remember there was a lot of bitterness towards the FBI and the local Broward County Sheriff's Department because they really didn't do a very good job in this case.
Well, they stood back, remember, because of the orders. I mean, that whole thing was such a mess.
We filled the void.
There were a lot of good ones, but there were a number of them that stood
back.
And
we've been at the school ever since, 4 a.m. in the morning to like 8 o'clock at night. So that's what we do, Joel. We just try to keep the peace.
Love that. Let's go to Ray from New Jersey. Ray, you're here with Curtis and Cosby on 77 WABC. Go ahead, Ray.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I just want to know if this David Hogg and his little buddies realize that they're being pimped out by Schumer. And the last walkout they had, Bernie Sanders, they treated like a rock star. These people, and they yelled, oh, Mr. Trump, when are you going to do something? The president has been in politics a little over a year. These guys have been in office longer than these kids have been alive. And they've had the power to do something, and they've done nothing with gun control.
Ray, you bring up a great point because, you know, these folks, look how divided things are. And I think the only way we're ever going to find a solution with all of this is to actually have some sort of like a summit on guns. And I think you need to have in the same room. I'd love to see a shot of the NRA, David Hogg, Schumer, all those people. But you're right. I feel like they're just fueling the flames by not bringing them together.
Listen, they know these kids are on a cusp of being getting their votes. And that's all they're looking for. They're trying to use them just like they do with the immigrants and everything else. They don't care about nothing but votes.
Well, I'll give you a perfect example. The iconic figure, Robert Kennedy Jr., wanted to run for the presidency, was sitting aside. Lyndon Johnson unexpectedly announced that he would not run for the presidency in 68 because of the debacle in Vietnam that he got us into. Gene McCarthy, come clean with Gene, was winning the primaries because he was truly the peace candidate. RFK Jr. saw that. He said, I'm going to pimp his ride.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, from being a war hawk in Vietnam, because his brother started all this crap, JFK, with the assassination of the leader in South Vietnam, we signed off on that.
And then all of a sudden he's missed a dove in battle after battle with Gene McCarthy. And a lot of the students who had had their heads busted when they were at anti-war protests were saying, you're a Johnny-come-lately, RFK Jr. And that's what these politicians do. They try
co-opt.
To pimp your ride.
Yeah, totally co-opting it. And how, like, to Ray's point, why are they not getting engaged? Why are they not trying to find a solution as opposed to creating, I think, more division?
Well, all they want is their lens lights. They want FaceTime.
Yeah.
So that if they can, it's like roller derby.
Yeah.
They can bump you out of the way like the schmuck to putz Chuck E. Cheese Schumer. That's what they do.
How sad. Let's go to Dino from New Jersey. Dino, you're here with Curtis and Cosby on 77 WABC. Go ahead, Dean.
How you doing, Rita? How you doing, Curtis? Listen, to me it's simple. I mean, there's no way you're going to get guns off the streets tomorrow. No time soon. But something has to be done today. The same thing that happened 16 years ago when they flew a few airplanes into the towers. We haven't had a hijacking since. Why? We did the TSA. We did the doors in the airplanes. We did the armed marshals. You got to do the same thing to the schools today. You have to protect the schools. Put armed guards.
This is the difference, Dino.
Yeah.
If all of a sudden airlines could not fly passengers safely, the economy would be crippled. If kids get killed in schools, the economy is not crippled.
But I think there's also a sensitivity,
No, that's a cop-out, Curtis. Listen,
I'm telling you why there was such a rush to do something about the airlines and how easy it was to hijack an airline and fly it into a building, because it also impacted on the economy. You could slaughter kids in a school doesn't have an impact on our economy. No,
but that's not it.
It's all about the money.
It's not about the money.
It always is. Kids are worth nothing.
Oh, that's terrible.
Why don't you have mass shootings in the hood? Why? Because the schools in the hood are already protected. They already have the
What are you talking about? Why don't they have mass shootings in the hood? Have you been to Chicago lately, pal?
Yeah, I was going
to
say they do have them.
You don't have mass shootings. You have maybe one shooting.
Oh, excuse me. So you got hundreds of dead bodies, hundreds of funerals, all because of gun violence. So that's any different than somebody walking into a school with an AR-15 like this last nut job killing 17?
You're going all over the space. Let's talk about the schools right now. Right?
And
now,
I'm telling you, there's the reason there was a crackdown after 9/11 is, if you remember, our economy was affected. They couldn't afford to have any more of these encroachments. That's why the TSA made little old ladies who were not terrorists take their shoes off, their garter belts, and their Depends. They don't do that in the schools.
You had a good point 2 minutes ago. You say Chuck E. Cheese Schumer wants the spotlight. That's true.
Yes.
But the Democrats, they're not on this issue for that. Not all Democrats want the spotlight. They have the socialist bug in them, you know.
The socialist bug.
That's confusing. But Dino, let me tell you something.
What
I think is different is that when we're dealing, I don't think it's an economic thing, Curtis. I disagree on that.
We don't care about our kids.
Well, I don't think it's that. I think what it is there is such a sensitivity with kids, guns. It's different when there are still so many people, and I understand some of the sensitivity. I'm for more security in school. I think it's a sad reality. There are a lot of people they don't want the appearance of armed guards in schools. They don't want our schools to feel like prisons. That's what
there are plenty of folks who
A lot of it's a psychological.
And it could be passed legislatively. It's going to cost a lot of money. And they're not going to want to put up
a
the
lot
money
of it's
to protect
a psychological.
Our children.
I think it's a combo. I think there's a lot of people. It's a psychological. They do not want kids to feel like they're in prisons.
How many more kids have to be killed in schools
before we
put armed guards in the schools and treat them like they're the gold at Fort Knox, because that's what they are.
Well, and they should be. But there are a lot of people who do not want schools to look like prisons. And that's what they're fighting
against. I wouldn't say that's the majority.
There's a lot. I bet you a lot of those students out there at Washington Park.
But they don't make the rules, right? We're the taxpayers. We pay the taxes. And in fact, if the people vote to have armed guards in the schools, then that's the way it should be. That's the way it's always been. That's democracy.
But I don't think it's all about the money. Let's go to John from Staten Island.
Oh, it's about the money.
John, go ahead. What do you think? Money or psychology? Go ahead.
Hey, Rita Curtis. Well, you know what? I mean, these kids doing what they could do, but you see the politicians playing on. But remember little Malala who got shot in the head in Afghanistan? she came back and what did the UN want her to do? Talk about literacy, and gave her a nice little medal and then sent her on her way while everybody in Afghanistan carried their guns tribally.
You mean Pakistan. The young lady was from
Pakistan. Malala. Malala.
Yeah. Malala, yeah.
I know exactly
you know
what you mean.
So you're going to tell me in other country they carry their guns, but you're going to tell us we can't carry guns for protection.
What do you want us to have? Warlords like in Afghanistan?
Right, I know.
And Northwest Pakistan? Come on, John.
Well, the Constitution states you can have a gun for protection.
But the problem is, John, they do not want it with kids around. They do not want them with, and there's a lot of sensitivity, guys, and psychological when you're dealing with kids. It's a whole different, it's not like airport and you're dealing with adults. There's so many different issues.
You know, when they go to the clubs and they queue up outside, there's armed security, and they queue up to go into the clubs. Yet it's okay for armed security at the club.
Yeah, and listen, I'm for there should be more guards, but there's a lot of people who do not want it.
1-800-848-WABC.
To the phones we go. Let's go to Jimmy from Rockland. You're here with Curtis and Cosby. Go ahead, Jim.
Hello, guys. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Not too bad. I have a simple solution that doesn't cost much money. And I don't know why the big debate is, just ban high-capacity magazines and assault rifles. If you had a car or something else that crashed or something, well, guess what? There'd be a recall. They'd fix it. You don't need 30-round magazines. If you go to the firing range, what are you, too lazy to go in your back pocket and get an 8-pound clip or something?
So, Jim, you're going to be able to get all the weapons off the street. Don't you think, unfortunately, it's too difficult at this point to do that?
No, all the weapons. I'm saying assault weapons.
And guess what happens? Then they come in with a knife or something else. Do you still put guards there? You got to put guards there regardless.
A knife is very easy to take care of. I don't know of any knife killing 17 people. Do you?
Well, if you look in China and you look in Japan, yes, sometimes they go on mass murder scenes in which they just keep, like, raping right through the crowd. And look at London. London has more violent crime than New York City now. And all the deaths, well, not all of them, but most of them are attributed to knifings.
And I did a crazy story on HLN last week with a woman who samurai-sword her husband.
Whoa.
And that's a rough way to go.